Welcome to Talks from the Bible. The text of Scripture which I wish to use for our thoughts is Job 14, verse 1. This is an Old Testament book. This book tells the story of Job and the sufferings which he endured. This passage of Scripture says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." There are three truths contained in that passage of Scripture. Man is born, man will suffer, and man will die. I wish to speak to those of us who may be suffering grief, who may have lost a spouse, a child, a loved one. In my life, I have buried my mother, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. These times proved to be very trying. These times were filled with great sorrow and great loss. I still fondly remember the days that I was able to spend with my mother. I'm thankful that I was able to know my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. My mind still reflects upon the time that I was able to spend with these people. But in this life, I will see them no more. Their pilgrimage upon the earth has come to an end. They are gone from this world. And their memory continues to linger in my mind and in the mind of my wife and in the minds of our children concerning their grandparents. In this life, we experience grief. We are born, and the pilgrimage that we make from birth to death is oftentimes a time of suffering, a time of discomfort, a time of sorrow. Someone may be experiencing a terminal illness or passing through some great sickness. But every life, every person that lives, experiences some sort of grief. In some cases, that grief can be lasting. It can even be permanent as far as this life is concerned. How do we deal with such grief and such sorrow? Man will be born, man will suffer, and man will die. That is the teaching of Scripture. And in our journey, all of us must learn how to accept the suffering that will come to our life. I wish to examine the lives of three Old Testament characters and a loss that each of these individuals suffered. The loss which they suffered was a great loss. It was a loss that caused them tremendous sorrow. It was a loss that was enduring. The first of these Old Testament characters is Jacob. Jacob is Israel. Israel is the people of God that has been chosen by him through whom the Christ will be born. Jesus, of course, will come into the world to save humanity from sin. And the seed line of Jesus was the nation of Israel. That promise began with Abraham and was fulfilled in Christ. We meet this man Jacob, whose name is changed to Israel by the Lord God himself. Jacob had 12 sons. Those 12 sons would ultimately become the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob has a son by the name of Joseph. Joseph is not accepted very well by his other brothers. They feel that Joseph is favored by their father. They believe that he shows them more love than he does to them. They become jealous of Joseph. And there is an occasion which Joseph goes out to see his brothers. And they decide that they are going to kill him. One of the brothers persuades them to sell him into slavery, which they do. Joseph himself will go through a period of suffering and trial. He will be torn from his father, from his home, from his family. He will be taken into a strange land, the land of Egypt. He will spend a time of success, but he will also spend a time of failure. He will know happiness and he will know sorrow during his time in Egypt. He will rise to a level of prominence in the Egyptian government, but he will also suffer imprisonment. Jacob, like you and me, all of us went through a time of difficulty, a time of sorrow. The brothers, after having done this to their brother, must inform their father. Joseph had been given a coat of many colors by his father. The scripture says in Genesis 37, 31 through 35, "And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, 'This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no.' As he knew it and said, 'It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces.'" The father believed that these brothers had found this coat. And Jacob believed that an evil beast had devoured Joseph. These brothers brought this coat to their father, lied to their father, saw the grief that Jacob suffered because of this action, and did nothing. They wanted Jacob to believe that Joseph was gone, that Joseph was dead. And this is what Jacob believed. Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. The life of Jacob had been ripped asunder by his own children. They had taken this son that Jacob loved and led the father to believe that Joseph was dead. This is a time of great grief, tremendous loss, overwhelming sorrow. Jacob begins to weep. You can imagine the sorrow that he must have felt. You can see the grief that he's experiencing. And Jacob said to them that he would go down to the grave mourning for his son. He was going to mourn the rest of his days upon the earth, as long as he lived upon the earth, for his son Joseph. For the love that he had for this son was great, and intense. And he would see this boy no more. Jacob suffered loss. The second Old Testament character that I would like for us to consider is Job. Job is the one who wrote the passage with which we began this discussion. Man that is born of a woman is full of trouble and a few days. Job is a man who has enjoyed great success. He has oxen and sheep and camels. And one day the word comes to him that the oxen have been killed, the sheep have been killed, the camels have been killed, and his servants have been killed who were keeping these animals. Job suffers great physical loss. He suffers intense financial loss. The scripture also informs us in this first chapter that Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. These children came together to enjoy a meal at one of the other children's homes. And the Bible says in chapter 1 of the book of Job that that home was destroyed and those children died. News came to Job that his flocks and herds were gone, his servants were gone, and his children were dead. Time of grief. A sorrowful news comes to Job. He's overwhelmed with distress. But in Job chapter 1 at verses 20 through 22, Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In times of great grief and great loss, in a time of tremendous distress and overwhelming sorrow, an individual might blame God and believe that God is the reason for their trouble and their loss. Job looked at his life and considered that he had come into the world with nothing and he would leave the world with nothing. And his philosophy was that the Lord had given and that the Lord had taken away. And with the loss of all of his physical blessings and the loss of his children, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. The third Old Testament individual who suffered great loss is David. David had been chosen by God to be the king of Israel. Israel had informed God through Samuel the prophet that they desired a king to rule over them. God was to rule over them. As the people of God, they were to be governed by God Himself. The Lord was to be the ruler of them as a nation. But they wanted a physical king. And so God permitted that to happen. God will allow people to do what they want to do, to be what they want to be, to go where they want to go, to live their lives as they choose to live them. God knew that a king would not work for the nation of Israel. God knew that this king would cause them to depart from God and turn away from God, and that there would be events and circumstances that would occur within the nation that would cause them to lose favor with God. But they did not accept that warning. Sometimes we refuse to listen to the warnings that are given. And as a result, we face danger, and sometimes we face loss. Saul was chosen to be king, but Saul would not obey God. And so God removed him as king, and David was the one chosen to replace him. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, while David's army had gone to war, David remained at the palace. He went up on the rooftop of the palace, and he looked across the way, and he saw a beautiful woman by the name of Bathsheba. David sent for Bathsheba, committed the act of fornication with her. A child was conceived. And as you read these events, you see that David tries to cover that sin. He tries to hide that sin. Sin cannot be hidden. We must face the consequences of our sin. We must accept responsibility for our sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, this child that was conceived and born became sick. And David, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 12, fell upon the earth and began to mourn and grieve the sickness of this child. He prayed unto God. He begged for the life of the child. He would not eat. His servants became concerned about him. But David refused to partake of food in his grief. The child died. And David arose from the earth and began to take nourishment. The servants did not want to inform David of the death of the child because they did not know what would happen, because they had seen what had transpired in David during the time of the illness of the child. They were fearful that it would be far worse, that perhaps David would go into this period of deep despondency from which he would be unable to return. But that was not the case. David rose from the earth and began to take nourishment. And the servants wondered why that had happened, why that change had occurred. 2 Samuel 12, 22, 23. And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." David understood that this child who had died would never be seen by him again. David would not be able to hold this child, to embrace this child, to teach this child, to care for this child. But David responded in his grief, saying, "I shall go to the child, because the child shall not return to me." David understood that this child was safe in the arms of Jesus, that he had gone to that eternal abode of God. And David said, "That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to resolve that I'm going to be with the child." Many, many years ago, when I was a young preacher, a lady called upon me and asked me if I would preach a funeral for an infant that had died after a few days of life. I responded that I would. I did not know this family. I had never met them. They were not church-attending people. I was simply called because someone happened to know that I was a preacher, and that perhaps a preacher should conduct the funeral. And so when I met this family, we went to this cemetery that was located in a woodland, far from the highway, almost away from everything. And we stood by that graveside, and I used this passage of Scripture. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. As far as I remember, I have never seen that family again. But I remember that event. I remember the crying, the moaning, the wailing at the death of this child. I saw the grief that had ripped through this mother and father. Grief can rip us apart. Grief can carry us into a period of despondency and depression. We must learn to deal with grief. We must know that our journey upon the earth is going to be filled with some sort of grief and sorrow. Man is born, man will suffer, and man will die. And in this pilgrimage of life, as we are aware that we have been born, we're going to suffer, and we're going to die, I want you to remember two truths. I want these truths to be the anchor for your soul, the rock upon which you stand. I want these truths to be able to sustain you and hold you and comfort you in your hour of loss, in your time of distress, in your period of discomfort. And if this grief becomes enduring, I desire that these two truths may help you in those periods when you reflect upon what you have lost, what you no longer have, the person you no longer see, the loved one you no longer embrace. The first truth is, God loves us with a love that we cannot fully comprehend. God loves us with a love that will deliver us through every storm and help us to endure every trial and sustain us in every affliction. God loves us. The love of God is almost beyond human comprehension, if not beyond human understanding. But the truth of the Bible, and the truth which sustained Jacob and Job and David in their periods of grief, was the truth that God loved them. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." God has loved with great love. It is a tremendous love. It is a love that is there all of the time. God does not withdraw his love. He does not take away his love. He continues to love. Romans 8:35 through 39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" Are we going to allow anything to separate us from the love of God? The loss of Joseph certainly could have separated Jacob from the love of God. The loss which Job experienced and which David experienced certainly could have caused them to be separated from the love of God. The question asked by the Apostle Paul is, what shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, our distress, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword, are these things going to separate us from the love of God? Are we going to allow these earthly concerns, these earthly trials, these periods of difficulty and loss to tear us away from the love of God? As it is written, for thy sake all we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The love of God enables us, empowers us to conquer, even in times of tremendous, overwhelming loss. When our soul is ripped from us, when we suffer even to the point that we cannot weep, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God will enable us to stand in a time of loss and grief. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We must not allow the events and circumstances and situations of our life that even bring us grief and suffering to remove us, to separate us, to divide us from the love of God. In the book of Jude at verse 21, the writer says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. God loves us. The second truth is God cares for us. God cares what is happening in our life. God cares how we feel. God cares about the suffering that we are experiencing. God cares about how we feel, what we think. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, the scripture says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. A creature who is born and who is going to die, God cares about us. A creature of the dust, God cares about us. God cares what is happening to us. God cares when grief comes to us. God cares when we're in great happiness and full success. In Mark 4:38-39, Jesus is with his disciples. They're sailing across the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Gennesaret, and there is a storm. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, they become fearful. The waves are turbulent. The ship is being tossed. There's a danger of loss of life. And so they awake Jesus and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? In our night of darkness and in our storm of turbulence, do we not know that God cares for us? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. When we understand fully and when we believe completely that God cares for us, there will be in our life a great calm, a stillness, Man is born, man will suffer, and man will die. And in that pilgrimage, remember, God loves us. God cares for us. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.